This is RSVB Update, episode 455, recorded Saturday, March 8th, 2014. Jagex gives you wings. Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us for another episode of RSVB Update. With us this week is just the normal Trekkie J1, J2, J3.
Yo.
So, it's been a week since we talked to each other. We're doing this on a Saturday instead of a Friday, but those of you guys listening should notice no difference because I'm a ninja at editing these things and getting them out very quickly now after our experience with the live show. So, we got a pretty quiet week.
Yeah, you know, Shane, if I start dropping the seven deadly sailors curse words all over the place, it'll take you forever.
Yeah, and then, of course, the players won't get to hear the podcast on time, as I normally like to happen for Saturday nights. So please don't do that.
That's fine.
Please don't.
That's fine. We can build anticipation.
What can we do?
Build anticipation.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, so this week is a very quiet week. It was billed as Tweaks Week by Jagex, and rightly so. There's really no big updates this week. First one is the Dungeoneering Binds interface, specifically for shields and offhand items. So you tell us about this.
So far, they basically added another slot for in the bind area for each group. So it just kind of lets people be able to bind an offhand weapon or a shield, and basically it's just one extra little slot.
That's it.
Well, I believe so.
So we've
went
had
dungeoneering
the evolution
earlier, but I didn't take a look.
Huh? Sorry. Go ahead.
I said I went dungeoneering earlier, but I didn't fully take a look. I forgot to do that.
Oh, okay. So we've had Evolution of Combat out since the end of 2012, and you haven't been able to bind an offhand weapon since then. Is that correct?
Quite honestly, there was no offhand weapons. There were the offhand melee weapons, but for range and magic, there was nothing. There's not even a wand in Dungeoneering right now.
See, and this is the thing with Evolution of Combat. It was put into game with the promise of changing combat throughout the game. Now, you have an idea of what you want to do, implement it. This is one area where it falls short, and this is one reason why people started complaining about the Evolution of Combat, ultimately. I'll get to how this relates to armor in just a little bit, but I think this is a little overdue. But it's good that it's here.
Was never really able to do anything offhand-wise, unless you want to grab a surge box, but they had no main magic weapon to cast, so it was kind of pointless.
Yeah, and like you said, you probably just had a staff, right?
Yeah, well, everybody has a staff in there if you're going magic. That's the only thing you have. Well, one good thing about it is that you don't really need runes to cast any of the spells in Dungeoneering, which is kind of nice. We need some, but not as much as before. Most of the you usually make an elementalist weapon, and usually you can find some air runes or somewhere. You're pretty good.
Yeah.
Usually there's plenty of air runes around because you do have the summoning runecrafting altar in there, so you can make like 150 million air runes in one go.
And this is something I was thinking with Dungeoneering. It seems as though pretty much everything is melee based. That's what I do my Dungeoneering with. Is it absolutely necessary, in your opinion, having 100 plus Dungeoneering to require a mage or a ranger in various Dungeoneering groups?
Actually, some bosses actually work better if you mage or range it, but as a whole, people just do bring whatever they want. I usually go range because I want to train range. Works out for me. Doesn't bother anyone else. Usually if you go as a group, you kill them so fast, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with the huge amount of damage that can end up coming out now. So. Mm.
Although, you know, range and magic are quite useful. You have one of those rooms where there's a giant gap in the middle and there are things shooting at you.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can do is usually have all your teammates range and just keep them off you as you build the bridge or whatever you need to build. Especially useful when on the other side it's all melee-based monsters, so you can basically just stand there and just have free target practice. Yeah, they're trying to make the bridge.
And I mean, like I said, it would have been nice to have this sooner, but I think that with the vast majority of people using Melee out there, it probably really wasn't that big of a deal for too many people. So I guess we're fine then. All right.
I like ranging in there.
Anything else you need to talk about Dungeoneering this week?
No, not really. Nothing super fascinating.
And for anybody wondering, those building construction sounds are coming from Trekkie's place. You're not hearing somebody start trying to break into your house or anything like that, so do not worry. All right, so moving on from the Binds interface, we have a color fix provided to people, which is interesting because I never ran into this problem on OS X. Did you notice any problems with the colors over the past couple weeks on Windows while playing RS?
Colors? No, never really paid attention to colors. Only thing that's taking me off is the whole seizure-inducing game flashing that freezes my screen up.
Oh, really?
And I'm not the only one that has that problem. I'll just be doing something and suddenly it'll be flashing, and I swear to God, if you watch long enough, it would give you a seizure. And I'm not the only one, too.
You know, one thing that's interesting is they fixed a black screen issue last week for OS X.
Nope, they did not fix that. Not for us, they didn't, at least.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. I've never seen anything like that on Windows. I very rarely play the game on Windows. The only time I do is when I go fight the Queen Black Dragon, because it's more responsive than on OS X. But it's definitely interesting to see what is going on with all these little things with regards to the engine. And maybe it's alluding to something in the future, some sort of major engine update. Only time will tell, of course. But this was a major issue for most people out there, the colors. It was oversaturated and very bright in places around the world, and people did not like that. So they've reverted those changes, and like I said, the interesting thing is, on OS X, I never noticed this problem. So it's definitely something interesting with that regard. So you say you never noticed any color problems?
Mm-mm.
Huh. Very, very interesting. Do you use the OpenGL?
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Or DirectX?
I use OpenGL. They said it was better, so okay. I just said it one day and just never bothered changing it.
Hmm. Okay. I use OpenGL because I think that, at the end of the day, OpenGL is a graphics library that, you know, is good, but it doesn't get as much positive press as DirectX does. Primarily because Microsoft has such a big machine promoting DirectX. So I like to promote OpenGL where I can. And ultimately, if I promote OpenGL, I think that's a good thing. So.
Okay.
All right. Also this week, they've made some changes to Heist, including guards can now lock chests that are outside the bank, and robbers must pick the locks on those chests to get the loot inside.
Cops and robbers.
Yeah, I've still not got a chance to try that minigame just because of the way it works. So.
Mm. Oh, yeah, okay. We can go some other time, Shane.
Yeah, we should. I'd like to do that. Get a RSBNB group together and do it that way, because that seems like definitely something that that mini game should need is a special little group. So that's good. And of course, there's also a whole bunch of stuff in the lockbox notes for this week, particularly pertaining to the Ninja Team. But one of the most interesting things, and something that kind of persisted for a long time, is that the Fleet Admiral title has been changed to Admiral of the Fleet to conform with British standards. That's for player-owned ports. Let's see, what else is in here that was interesting? Let's see, where was that? The Berthorpe Bank area now restores life points. That was that new bank they added, and they didn't. It didn't restore life points. I noticed that.
Oh yeah, I was like, why are I came there like wondering why are there so many gnomes?
Yeah. Did we ever find out why the gnomes took over rather than the trolls?
Mm-hmm. No clue. Never asked. All I know is they give me my stuff and I'm happy with it. Hey, maybe it's like maybe they're not gnomes at all. Maybe they're spies. You remember those like pretty creatures? Oh, spoil. Oh, you know where? I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't watched. I haven't done the quest yet.
That's okay.
You know which one. Had to do with the interesting creatures around a particular gnome area.
Hmm.
Okay. You don't remember?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I don't. Seriously, I don't.
Okay, I'll show you later.
Okay. also, a good thing this week, players can now use the space bar instead of clicking confirm on the Make X interface. So it's truly keyboard, or truly focused on just using the keyboard, and you don't need to use the mouse anymore. So that's very good, I think. You have anything from the release notes?
I got nothing here. Very little stuff. Make X interface now states you need to have a slash booked for making an elementalist shield. Okay, but yeah, that's really nothing else. Let's see. Yeah, nothing really truly really jumps out.
Alrighty. Well, what is up next?
What's up next? Well, God dang it. Come on, move. There we go. Got the release notes. We did that already.
Yep.
Got the combat beta updates.
Yeah, this is very, very big. The amount of work put into this week's update. So I have these. What do you think is the most important? You.
Hold on. It's taking a while to load up. You go first, Shane, while it loads up.
So a whole plethora of changes here. First things first, the combat level has been reset to level 138.
Why?
But there's one major change. Rather than, you know, how melee used to be more heavily weighted in this one, now magic, melee, and ranged are all equally weighted the same. So that's good. Rather than being a 1.5 times multiplier, magic and ranged count for 2x, and they sum up for the total of attack and strength, like 198. So, you know, I agree that this formula is more prestigious. I will give you guys that who prefer the 138 formula. The only thing I do not like with this formula is that things like prayer and constitution are included in it, when that really doesn't affect your combat ability in terms of the amount of damage you can deal out or soak up.
No, you can survive, though.
I know. But, I mean, on the same way that we're saying prayer is a combat skill, don't you think Slayer could be made a combat skill as well?
Well, your summoning is still part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, so I don't know why summoning is really... It's not really combat related, but...
See,
now, my judgment, I'm gonna miss being max level.
Oh, really? You're not? You don't have 96 prayer and 96 summoning?
I don't have 96 summoning.
Oh.
I'm 94, remember? I was short because I didn't have enough stuff.
Right. Okay. You know...
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you guys a story. A story back from 2008 and late 2007 when hype was building for summoning. When summoning came out, was promoted heavily before the fact in terms of being an addition to combat, in that it's going to be able to help you with your combat and it's going to be able to help you elsewhere in RuneScape, which when everybody heard this, they were happy about it, and there was some concerns, as always, when a skill comes out. So the thing is that when summoning came out, it was a dud. It was like the gun that was supposed to fire, but fired a blank instead. That forced them to do summoning batch 2, which brought in the rest of the familiars and tweaked the way other familiars work and shards work and all those things like that. And the whole point behind summoning, one of the main pillars of summoning, was that if you wanted, you could go out and do a Slayer task and use a familiar to fight for you. Do you remember hearing this?
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work out as well as we hope.
Yes, if you're lower level, then you focus purely on summoning and you're fighting things lower than your familiar level. Sure, that worked. And at the end of the day, the only real useful familiars for fighting things were the two Iron and Steel Titans at level 95 and 99. And people use these to do large amounts of DPS before the Evolution of Combat came out. And then once the Evolution of Combat came out, familiars and in general, and specifically these ones, really didn't have a place because it was possible for players on their own to deal so much damage over time with, you know, the threshold and ultimate combinations. So with the Evolution of Combat coming out, summoning was relegated to a third place. It wasn't really an effective combat choice anymore. And that's why summoning is part of the original combat formulas, because you're supposed to be able to deal damage with it. But you can't. So that's why I'm saying, and why I'm agreeing with what you said, why is summoning a part of the formula now? We should just go back to level 126, unless summoning is going to be reworked majorly, which doesn't look like it's going to happen this year.
Well, you remember when summoning was supposed to coming out, they just released the Grand Exchange and how they made the limits to open trade, remember? And summoning was supposed to be the thing that would keep players playing.
Yeah.
The only problem was it wasn't that great because using targeting with summoning was almost impossible at the time. Most people were, and it was a huge money sink. However, they that also boasted is. It as a well. They also boast that it was going to be a money maker as well, which is kind of true if you were selling the tertiary stuff because those things are expensive. But as a
water as talisman, a whole bonus XP weekend, case in point.
Well, you know, one of the biggest problems with it though was the fact that most of the familiars were melee based. The problem was with that is it was very hard to use them to target anything. Only a very few select handful were actually magic or range based, and trying to get those it was almost impossible. It was really a pain in the butt. It still kind of is. And now even with summoning. Familiars are useless in a PvP match. If you go someplace where you fight other people, they die faster than you.
Yep.
I remember before EOC, you know, people brought summonings to Soul Wars and they lasted longer than the players because no one could ever deal any real damage to them. And so, you know, that's why you have the prayer where you kind of reduce damage for some summoning familiars, which is a very useless
skill. Right,
we
have that prayer. I've never really used it. Never had to use it.
Because we don't fight other people. We don't have NPCs that use familiars as well. We just turn on Soul Split and we're done. And if those who don't have it, they turn on, you know, thick skin or whatnot to use it. But you know, one of the biggest issues with summoning is that they still don't really have any familiars that actually help you fight well. Throughout the level, unless you're like number 9 and you just use a Steel Titan, that's about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But
and
I use Mythal Dragons to fight other NPCs. They're okay, but still, there's a pain in the butt to try and get them to target the one you want.
And because of this, would you agree with pulling summoning out of both combat formulas?
Sure, why not? And then it will completely even out. So you either go melee base in Constitution or you go Ranger Magic in Constitution with defense.
And this is the thing behind it. Summoning is a minor part of it, just like prayer is a minor part. But if summoning was to truly become a main portion of the combat, there would need to be more emphasis on summoning in the formula. So,
well, you know what? I can prove that summoning really isn't. There's really very little point in combat. Shane, when you go fight NPCs, like when we've gone to God of War's dungeon, have you ever used a summoning familiar to help that helps you fight?
Uh-uh.
Like actually helps you
nope.
fight?
Nope.
What do you use?
What do you use? Yak.
Pack Yak, War Tortoise,
or the Unicorn.
Dude, maybe the Bunyip or the Unicorn.
Yeah.
Very rarely do we use any for summoning purposes.
Yeah. Anyways,
we usually keep them to keep you alive, not to fight.
Yeah. Well, we're getting kind of off track here. This is a problem with summoning, and I'll talk more about a bit later as to some revelations made on summoning and other skills. But the new combat formula is simply a matter of the maximum of attack plus strength, or magic times 2, or range times 2. So you take the maximum of those and multiply it by 1.3. That becomes your offensive component of it. Then you add in your defense, your constitution, half of your prayer, half of your summoning. You take that number, divide it by 4, and round down, and there's the combat formula. That ends up being 138. And these ones, of course, the difference between this and now, or previously before EOC, is that magic and ranged have the same benefit as the melee skills do, which I think that's good. And I mean, like, oh, yeah. I said before, it doesn't make sense to go back at this point because, you know, JX made huge, bold announcements with the Evolution of Combat when it came out and, you know, completely turning these things on their head, is saying something major that they can't, or rather prefer to leave these decisions in the hands of players in order to just ensure people are happy, which might not be in line with their ultimate end game of RS Combat. So just keep that in mind when using this new formula. And like I said before, it doesn't really bother me which one I am because I don't PvP. I don't have anything in the combat formula that matters. I don't care what a number above my head says. Do you care if it says 138 or 200 or 199 or 137?
Yes.
Why?
Because that's how I base my character. The higher level I am, the older I look.
Okay, there's a reason I have white hair and white
beards. So?
Okay, fair enough.
So, I had my little goal many years ago. The closer I am to max combat, the older I'll look. And I look older than Uncle Dano on a Friday night.
Alrighty, well, moving on from the combat formula, they also updated a whole bunch of special attacks this week. God bows, hab cannons, penance trident, master trident, mind spike staff, quick bow, keen blade, barrel chest anchor, ancient mace, magic composite bow, dark light, rune throwing axe, brine saber, brackish blade, bone dagger, Vestas spear. The Excalibur, enhanced Excalibur, also have their special attacks back, and they are performed by using the operate menu, and these weapons now have magic special attacks. The Ibon staff, Ceridoman staff, Guthic staff, Zamorak staff, Zuriel staff, and Armadil's battle staff. And finally, special attack damage will scale up when you level up over the weapon's wear requirement. So this means, for example, that you can grab a dragon longsword, being level 90 melee combat skills, and then have a decent special attack to use. What do you make of that?
I think that's good. Dragon longsword is taking away level 50 weapon now.
Yep, 60.
Yeah, 60, yeah, but quite honestly, if you're level 99 and everything, you're not going to use it. You're going to use Drygors.
Yeah, so you need a reason to use the special. All right.
Unless, like before, you just use up the special and switch to your regular weapon. You remember with Dragon Daggers, Dragon Claws were?
Yeah, and I think
just use it for the special and then switch.
I think that's what we're going to end up with seeing with this update, so I'm happy about that because... there's a little known fact with Evolution of Combat. Let's say you have level, let's say you have level 99 magic and you are using level 75 Staff of Light. You remember this example where I'm going, right?
I believe I remember Mike and I were talking about it.
Yeah. So let's say you're level 99 magic and you have a level 75 Staff of Light. The idea behind ammunition is that you, even if you're using Fire Surge, because you have 99 magic, you are limited inherently by the staff that you are using. So your damage output from Fire Surge is not going to be much higher than Fire Wave would be, so there's no point in doing that. So I suspect something similar also exists for melee weapons, where if you're level 99 and you're using, say, a dragon longsword, you're not going to see as much benefit as if you were using the right one for your level. So granted, you know, you're not going to use a dragon longsword to see what kind of basic damage you can do, but you might use it for the special attack. So it's definitely good that they're scaling up that damage.
Okay.
All right. There's also some changes for PvP, specifically PvP damage being reduced, 0.1% less damage per defense level, and protection prayers now reduce 25% of incoming damage, and eating food in PvP will no longer drain your adrenaline. That's a pretty big one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. God Wars Dungeons will be interesting.
Well, it's for PvP only.
Oh, right. Oh, well. Okay, then.
And enemy adrenaline bars have been hidden in PvP. So, This is the vast majority of the changes, but there's one other change here that I want to highlight, actually two of them. Tank armor and shields will now offer damage reduction in PvE situations. So, we have a choice as to why we should use tank armor now over power armor.
I thought we always use tank armor given the choice.
Exactly, because tank armor is just the go-to armor because the offensive bonus from power armor is so weak and you handicap yourself so much. So we actually have a bigger reason to use tank armor now. You get something on the order of 0.02, or you get 2% of the level of your piece of equipment in terms of damage reduction. So let's say you're using the level 85 port armor, okay? And 2% of 85 is 1.7. So for each piece of port armor you wear, you get 1.7% damage reduction. So essentially what happens is that you will take far less damage now using tank armor, which is really, really good. And same thing goes for shields as well. It's basically 10%. So if you're using a level 70 shield, you get 7% extra damage absorption through using this. So there's a reason to use shields now. Isn't this one thing we were missing earlier?
No, we were more really missing a 6 action bar so we can have one where we can actually use the shield.
Very true.
Look, this is what I have for my action bar. I have one for range, one for magic. What else do I have? Let's see. I have one for a two-hander. I have one for a two-hander, and I have one for... what else do I have? A two-hander, I got one for double. And my fifth one is a general purpose, use a little bit of everything. It's like, I need one more.
Yeah, and okay, fair enough. So if you had another one, you would definitely set one up for shields, because shields offer so much damage reduction now.
Well, the other problem is that there's not much many shields that doesn't cost me 10 arms and 3 legs at my level. We all had the Dragon Fire Stone, and there's 3 varieties of it, but that was it. And then, we got the new very nice ones from those new monsters.
Yeah, the new boss, malevolent.
I was like, oh my god, that's beautiful. They're so nice, but I need to give out 10 arms and 3 legs.
Yeah. All right. And also, you can now toggle chat to be permanently focused via an option in the top right of the chat window. So this is like an always-on chat option, much like the legacy mode will have or it should end up having later on. So, of course, that means you need to click on your action bars and everything like that. But I don't know. A good variety of changes this week. And you know, when it comes down to it, I need to ask people once again, I really do, play the beta, log into the beta, do something you normally do. Go do a Abyssal Demon Slayer task. Go kill the Queen Black Dragon or Kalphite King. Just go and do something you normally do in terms of combat and test all these things that we mentioned here. So, for example, test special attacks. Test the damage reduction in PvE. Just really do that and ensure that everything is working the way you want. And if you find something that you think should be different, post a topic on the forums. And I need to really, really specify here that they should be constructive topics. I was in these forums yesterday, and I mean, there are just so many of them that were rant-based, you know, saying what the problem is, but didn't really provide a credible solution to it. And the flames were just being fanned by people agreeing with this, and, you know, it was pages upon pages of just what looked like a rant. So if you're going to post a topic in there, please do it constructively. You want to go try and PvP each other later in the wilderness and see how this works?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, no. No, thanks. You have Drygors, I don't.
I'd leave them at home.
No. No, thank you.
All right. So, that's it for the combat beta changes this week. A good amount of them, and just be sure to get on the beta server and play.
Next up... Okay, next up we have the polling updates.
And yeah, no Friday surprise this week, so that's good.
I didn't like the other two. I thought they were boo-boo.
All right, well, tell us what we got then.
First one, we got the combat boss versus non-combat boss. Gee, Shane, without a surprise, 57% want a new combat boss.
Yep.
I ain't surprised much, huh, Shane?
Nope.
Next we have the ninja focus.
So is this either the one you're upset about?
This one or the other one?
Okay.
Let me see. Well, actually, I'm in the game. I should just open up and start trying to read this stupid thing.
Tell us.
I can't figure out what they were. Okay, we got the diamond pole. Diamond pole is the ninja team. Which one would you like them to face? We have revamping challenges, redoing the jewelry, dungeoneering rewards, or something else. Funny enough, dungeoneering rewards for more uses for your tokens is winning pretty high at about 43%. Second place is by jewelry overhaul by 27%.
I have an inherent problem with this poll.
Okay.
Or do you want to go through the results of the Barbarian Assault one first?
Let's say them all before we go one by one. So anyway, Barbarian Assault boss, new way of making stuff. You're going to have a weapon of power, Trap of Doom, Golem Horde, Projectile of Death, or something else. And obviously, weapon of power is winning by 50% of the votes. As a team, you work together to create an awesome destructive weapon that you wield against a creature. Now, which of you is going to have the right to wield that without trying to kill each other? That is going to be fun to watch. You just need popcorn and a soda.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Jay, go ahead.
All right. I have a major problem with the diamond pole here. Dungeoneering rewards is winning. Now, this means one of two things. And I'm inclined to think the latter. The first thing it could mean is that people have an excess amount of dungeoneering tokens to spend. You think this is the case?
Oh, yeah. Especially when you get up there. After 120, you still do it.
Okay. But how many people have north of 100 dungeoneering?
Quite a few.
Okay. So, okay, we can assume that's the case. But I think something else might be at work here for this one. I think that this is an example of bias in terms of the polling option. Now, what's the first thing you notice when you mouse over the dungeoneering rewards in the little text it says?
The little text it says, what is it? More reward for a dungeoneering token, including some consumables.
Dungeoneering tokens. I think people are going to see dungeoneering tokens and automatically think that there's going to be a reward that gives more dungeoneering tokens. And, you know, I honestly think that that's why this one is winning by such a large margin. I think there's some bias in this poll, primarily because You see Dungeoneering tokens, and people always want more Dungeoneering tokens. So I think that's a bit of a bias there. And I honestly think that jewelry should have been the one that's winning here, because if you think about it, what good is jewelry for after the evolution of combat? Granted, a few of them can teleport you places, but they just give you crit bonuses, which is nothing like what it did before. And that's counterintuitive to what the people seem to have been wanting over the last year. They want more stuff like it was before the evolution of combat. That is, give jewelry more strength bonuses and stuff like that.
Actually, I voted for the jewelry, not for that, but because maybe they'll, one, fix the action bar problem that I have, and hopefully, two, make Enchant Jewelry X. My god, it takes me so long to enchant all those jewelry in my hand, especially now I can't just do it from the action bar.
You know, I completely agree with you with that.
Yes, you and those who mass enchant jewelry know my pain.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say I voted for something else on this one, because I've decided that unless it's a binary option, yes or no, I'm going to vote for something else, or none of the above, or whatever this other option might be on all of the polls that come up. Because I honestly think that the people at Jagex who put so much time into RuneScape deserve a choice as to which of these options are going to win. Now, granted, something else is never going to win, but I think that putting my vote there is a symbolic thing to what I do not like about this power to the player system, which we've been under for roughly 3 months now. So I just feel that's the best thing for me to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And same thing for Barbarian Assault Boss, Weapon of Power. I honestly think that's a bias, because people see Barbarian Assault Boss, and, you know, the first thing that jumped to my mind when I saw this is that, maybe for defeating this boss, I'm going to get a Weapon of Power. So that's why we should choose Weapon of Power. So I think that these polls are inherently biased in terms of which options are winning. Just like the Beast of Burden poll was biased last week or whenever that was.
Hmm. Okay, I actually voted for the Golem Horde. I figure, you know, you should actually work together and do something instead of Weapon of Power. One person gets it. That's dumb.
I voted for something else again. All right.
You're voting for the third party. You're playing a dangerous game.
Yep. All right, and quick inventory options will be improved as one of the results from the past poll. And Elven Focuses Part 2 will be Agility and Prayer.
Why Agility?
Well, people don't like training it. And I agree.
God. Yeah. Ooh, we have a new obstacle course. This is so boring. Well, you voted for it.
Yep. That's entirely right. Okay. Moving on from that, still on the topic of polls, Jagex has put out another poll cast in which they discuss the combat or skilling boss poll, and you can find that on their Podbean page, runescape.podbean.com.
Okay.
We also got a behind-the-scenes video for One of a Kind, which is the Dragon Rider quest coming out next week. Excited?
Woot!
Excited about it?
Oh, yes. We got a new quest out. It was supposed to come out last month, but just didn't happen, so we'll see.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the Dragonkin. Remember what happened last time we saw the Dragonkin? They burnt Edgeville to a crisp.
And yet, we still can't fix it up. Umbridge. Yeah. Somebody paid off Umbridge.
Definitely going to be interesting to see what happens with this quest and where it goes. And what the rewards are going to be, because remember, we voted for that Celestial Dragon. So, should be a very good quest. Okay. And finally, Premier Club VIP answers. So, the Premier Club asked, and Jagex answered, there's a huge, huge list of questions and answers here. so much so that I'm not even going to go over all of them, but it's a pretty interesting read, especially the lore section, as to some things that we've been wondering for a long time. Like, for example, Soul Altar. They said we could be seeing a Soul Altar pretty soon. And also maybe more uses for soul runes. So there's two of the things that were mentioned in there, but there is really a whole bunch of them here. So what I suggest everybody do is, if you're interested in a specific thing, like Zaros, for example, you just go to this Q&A topic in your browser and search for Zaros and look at any of the questions that pertain to this, because if you're going to read through this whole thing, it'll take you an hour plus. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, and also the obligatory mention to the Solomon's General Store update. Wings! You going to purchase any wings?
Only if they're buffalo wings.
No, they are not. They're feathered, sparkling, insectile, and unusual. Yeah. So that was the other main update of the week. I've seen some people running around with them. The insect ones look like, well, an insect. So, you know, I can't understand for the life of me why people would want wings. Granted, not like buffalo wings or anything like that, but just wings on your character. It doesn't make sense.
Eh, some people want to be the angel of death.
I guess. All right.
Nice. Well, hey, you know what? It's a cosmetic override. They want to take it.
Yeah, care. And I mean, that's perfectly fine. And you show your support for Jagex by doing that. I have no problem with that. So. Alrighty, let's move on to questions then, shall we?
Okay, go.
Alright, we got three audio questions this week. First up, audio question from Parnassius.
G'day guys, it's Parnassius with a quick question on the recently discussed 120 level skill cape. One of the mods has put an idea out there that they may look at this, but only as a purely cosmetic item. I personally don't see any point in this. I feel that if this is something that the players want, then there should be content developed along with it that should be introduced to extend players' time in the game. There's no reason why the current skill mastery at 99 and the max cape would ever need to be changed with this. They could simply introduce a supreme master cape and supreme max cape for players wanting to get to a level 120. It would open the game up to new training plots and higher level slayer-only monsters. I know we have discussed this before a while ago, but now that Jagex are putting the idea out there, how do you feel about it?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And here's why. If they bring out these virtual level 120 capes, it essentially means that in the future, once all the skills are full up in terms of development, there is no need to expand the levels beyond 120. Granted, you know, there is the achievement at the end of the day once you get there. But if people can go for 120, there's not going to be anything to work towards with a real 120. So basically what I'm saying is that if you have a virtual 120 and Jagex in the future should have wanted to expand to real 120, if all these people have virtual 120 already, there's going to be no point, because people who really do like the skill will have already done it, and Jagex will just be creating content that isn't driven by players wanting to get there on a sense of achievement. It's just going to be opened up right away, which I don't think is a good thing. And ultimately, when you get down to it, real 120 is better than virtual 120.
You know, I never really cared. I still don't really care about cosmetic stuff. If you want to live in your own little fantasy, go right ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the same thing. It's not real. And you know what a very interesting thing is? I actually had this idea about 6 months ago, after the prestige vote failed. I thought we could, on our RSBNB high scores, expand our high scores to levels beyond Beyond 99 to just show what people have for people who do move beyond. And yes, we could do that, and it would give a sense of achievement in the RSBNB community, but you're not actually achieving anything in game. So I don't know if I see a point to that. I mean, it would certainly be a nice thing to work for, but it's just a cosmetic. So.
Well, they do what they want. I never care for cosmetic items anyway. No, I mean, you know, I think, let's see, I'm sure you have some skills that can qualify as a 120, don't you, Shane?
No, that's 104 million XP. I do not.
104? Well, I thought you were farming close to it or something.
No, I'm okay. Only 42 million farming XP.
What's my crafting experience? I don't know, I've got like 20 mil.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just think it, if virtual 120 existed, it would, in effect, prevent the creation of real 120, because people would have already been there, and, I mean, yeah, they could have done it to create more achievement, but if it's already there, what's the point?
Okay. Well, maybe you won't have a new emoticon, but...
Oh, they also said in this topic that that the emotes for the 120 capes would be the same.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Parnassius. Next one would be from Marumska.
Hello, Shane and Winky Tricky. How you doing? Marumska here. Shane, I recently lost my telephone, mobile phone, and I'm a bit lost in touch with the current mobile phone technology. What phone should I go for? I see these Windows phones seem decent. I don't know what's good anymore. Heads up would be great. Host, what do you think Jagex can revive those mini games, since nobody really plays them anymore? Granted, they shoved out a new poll trying to resuscitate it, but I'm not sure anybody's taking the bait. I don't know, what are your opinions? Lastly, why is Canada so good at curling? Is curling some sort of pastime that happens there? I don't know. Anyways, I'll talk to you next time. Where I'm scared.
Alright. Phone choice. What phone do you use?
Android.
Yeah, but what model?
Droid Ultra from Motorola. You obviously will say go with the iPhone, so alright, there's your options. You can either go to Droid or you can follow Shane with an iPhone. You'll probably go with the iPhone, so let's move on to the next question, shall we?
That's rather quick. Let me say that, yeah, I'm partial to the iPhone, of course. But if you did want an Android solution, two Android phones that I would use if I had to use Android would be the Moto X, because it is actually made in the USA, and the Nexus 5 from Google. Basically, my issue with Android is Samsung, in that their phones in the past have been cheap plastic toy type phones, and ultimately...
No, their phones are just freaking bricks. They're okay. Huge. It's like, I don't want a Fabbit. I want a phone.
Yes, exactly. And that's another thing I don't like with Android, is the compulsion for manufacturers to have these huge screen sizes. I don't know why, but in my opinion, the screen size of the iPhone 4 and 4S was the perfect size. Even the iPhone 5 screen is a little too large for me. But when it comes down to it, if you're going to go with Android, make sure you get an Android that has pure Google Android, and that being the Nexus 5 from Google or Moto X. Don't go for Samsung unless you can get a Samsung phone that is going to have pure Android on it. And finally, don't go for a Windows phone, because there's just not a big enough
there's
app
nothing
ecosystem
there.
Out there on Windows. Mm-hmm. So,
but then again, if you want to help perpetuate the Windows app market by purchasing one, Microsoft will thank you too.
And yeah, or if you're an app developer,
other future customers,
build Windows Phone apps and maybe start something that'll get people over there. But I don't think so. All right.
You never know.
Yeah.
I mean, all you need to do is make a new Flappy Bird. They should just have someone just copy Flappy Bird, put it on the Windows Phone, and I guarantee you it will shoot up in price.
Yeah. All right. Okay, reviving dead minigames. Yeah, I completely agree. There needs to be some work done on making minigames useful again.
Oh, I know. I know a very easy way to do that, to fix that. Oh, yeah. Give combat experience for killing other people.
In Castle Wars and Soul Wars, right?
Any of them. I guarantee you they will get people back. I went to Soul Wars a couple months ago and it's dead. And I was like, what happened? You only get experience from either trading the stuff in or from killing the monsters. Like, I don't want to kill the monsters. That's pointless. I'm there to kill people. I carried magic there. It was so much fun just freezing people nonstop. But
yeah,
there's no point now.
There's
just no real point in doing it. It's very little people now.
You know, I was never really much for the combat minigame type things. I'm going to have to say, mini games that really do need to come back from the dead are Soul Split. I mean, not Soul Split. What was that one in the wilderness? Stealing Creation. Stealing Creation needs to come back. And give bonus XP to the skills. Don't force people to use the hammer, the pickaxe, or the needler, or whatever it might be. Just give bonus XP to those skills and simplify things that way and have those sacred clay things as cosmetic rewards. That's how you fix that. And like you said, bring combat experience back into that one as well, and share the entire instances over an entire world. So you just go to one central place on whatever world you might be and say, I want to play Stealing Creation. It'll put you in a queue and put you in a Stealing Creation game right away. You get combat XP from doing it. You get bonus XP from doing it, and you give it a graphical overhaul. Done. Stealing Creation back on the map. Now you do the same thing for Trouble Brewing. You make the rewards for Trouble Brewing to deal with herb lore and cooking. And then you give a bit of a tutorial behind Trouble Brewing, and you put the same queue thing behind it. And then you got Trouble Brewing back in business. That's one problem we always had with Trouble Brewing, is people didn't understand how to play that minigame. It was one of the more in-depth minigames in RuneScape, and I actually liked that minigame, but nobody really ever played it aside from us at our RSVNB events. Trouble Brewing.
Which one? I still haven't tried it.
Yeah, and see, because unless you were at one of our events, you couldn't. So that's how you bring Trouble Brewing back. And the other one I think that really needs to come back is, oh gosh, what was it? It was on the top of my mind. Stealing Creation, Trouble Brewing.
Fist of Gothics?
No, that's low level. That thing was never, I never really saw a point to that. Just low level combat. But you could bring that back by bringing in PvP XP into it. And, the real problem with that one is that it would always get overswamped by high levels, always killing the low levels. So, anyways, those are the main two I'd bring back, Stealing Creation and Trouble Brewing. All right.
Okay.
Anything else on your minigames you want to come back?
I wouldn't mind having Soul Wars kind of be back and more useful for training combat. What else is there? Castle Wars, I think, could use a little revamp. Castle Wars, it's still a little bit fun, but it's not a good one. I'm also thinking, maybe reduce all the requirements for that completionist cape. Because, what was it, 5,000 Castle War events in order to qualify?
Yeah, they did actually. They tweaked that. What was it? You need to have a certain number of tickets now, I think. It's not 5,000 Castle Wars wins, but it's relatively close to that. So that's been tweaked, so you don't need to worry about that. That's already been sorted.
That's all right.
All right. The last question from Ramska: why is Canada so good at curling? And the answer to that one is, I don't know. I mean, curling isn't something we do in schools, so
well,
it's not something
you
guys grow up doing.
You guys are so used. You guys are so used being on the ice. You are so great when you guys lost a hockey team to be throwing stuff on the ground and hitting something. And you guys always use a hockey stick, and you guys always clean up after yourselves. So you're used to sweeping things up. That's about it. There you go. All right, let's go.
Oh, that's a hilarious answer, but a good one at that. I don't know.
Sorry, Shane. No.
It's a very tactical sport, and I like that because, it's not just a matter of brute force or brute strength. There's actually, yes, there's strength involved, but there's actually strategy behind it. So, I don't know. It's a very interesting question. If I find out the answer, I'll let you know. All right, Ian, who's our last question from?
Our last question was from 101 Duck Win.
Hey guys, 101 Duck One here with a couple short questions. First off, Shane, how are you liking those fancy new Drygors of yours? And also, what do you guys think Jagex is going to do when they inevitably run out of higher level tiers to go to? I mean, we're going to reach 99 at some point. We've already hit 90, and they're going to keep going. So what do you think they'll do once they hit that cap? All right, thanks guys. Have a good week.
You know, the Drygors have been staying home recently, primarily because I haven't been doing anything combat related. That was just a goal I wanted to do this year to ensure that I would have the weapons if I ever need them, and I have them now. So I haven't really been doing much now that I got them. So thanks for asking.
Okay.
Second part.
What to do if they add it in? Who knows? Maybe they release some weapons where you can do cross combat related things or something.
Right.
So it would be interesting to see.
If we fill up, say, 90, 95, and then ultimately 99, where do we go after that?
Where we go after that? Okay. You are given you smithing to make brand new weapons that can attach to those weapons and then have a whole bunch of new action bar abilities depending on what you add into it. Wouldn't you love that, Shane?
Yeah, that would be very nice to actually see weapons create their own special attacks by kind of crafting them together. I guess that's where you're going. That's where you're going with that, right?
Sure.
And you know what the very interesting thing about that is? You're describing the invention skill. The answer to post-level 99 combat weapons is the invention skill. This was said by Mod Mark in one of the Q&As about invention before the Elf City one. And it was said that invention would deal with this problem of, you know, expanding weapons and creating more diversity between the weapons that exist, and would allow for things to happen more interestingly at level 99. So what you could imagine, or at least what I imagine it would look like, is you would use divine energy from divination, combine it with other weapons in game and other weapons that you create, and you can essentially craft weapons, like you said, with their own special abilities, and it would say created by you. That's what they said about invention. So that's how that would probably work. And a good model of how this looks is if you look at the Team Fortress 2 crafting system, where you can take stock weapons and combine them with other things to create better weapons. So that's what I imagine the invention skill would look like with the use of divine energy. So that is one answer to what happens at level 99 once we fill up the tiers. The other answer, I think, circles back to Parnassius's question about expanding levels beyond 99. Now, like I said, if you expand to a virtual 120, there's no need to expand to a real 120. And if you didn't expand to a real 120, you wouldn't be able to create other weapons out there like you're suggesting that we'll eventually need. We'll need a level 100 weapon eventually. So That's why I think that creating these virtual capes is a bad idea, because it limits us in terms of what you're asking, 101 Duck 1, as to how these weapons can be used past level 99. So there's a two-pronged answer. Deals with invention and deals with expanding to 120. And also, while we're on this topic of 120 and beyond level 99, there was an interesting poll suggested by a player in the Power to the Players forum allowing people to reclaim their first skill cape as an untrimmed cape. So that would have been a polling option. And I don't know. Would you take back your first 99 cape untrimmed since we can't keepsake them anymore?
No.
You wouldn't? Okay. Well, I would get my 99 farming untrimmed cape back, of course. So I'll put a link to this poll in the notes. But, you know, ultimately, when it comes down to it, I think we do need to look out to the future and expanding on to beyond level 99. So I agree with you here that something should need to be done. And it will probably be invention skill next year at some point, as to what this last Q&A said. So that's what we're looking at with that. Alrighty, thank you for your guys' audio questions. We got a text question. Do you want to read it, or should I?
You read it, Shane.
Alrighty. This text question is from Eclipsions. Hello, Shane Trekkian, whomever else may be about. I'm a long-time listener, first-time asker. My question to you is about Revolution. Now, the combat in Revolution is semi-AFK, and it is a lot easier to defeat creatures in large amounts. Do you think people will still use the button-mashing version of EOC? I myself cannot see people using it if people know how to use Revolution properly to its full potential, but that's just me. Thanks for answering. Keep up the great work.
I still button-mash.
Okay, why?
I do. Well, because when I'm fighting bosses, I find it easier just to be able to manually control what I do. I haven't done a Slayer task with lower level monsters really use it. I'm sure, I know you have, I haven't. Last time we were trying to God Wars Dungeon with it, it didn't go so well with me. I was like, oh my god, give me back manual control.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat as you as well. I just find that, you remember what I said when we were doing Sarah Doman there?
Mm-hmm.
We were at the Sarah Doman God Wars Dungeon, and we were just getting kill after kill after kill so easily. And it was actually getting boring without the need to press buttons. So I turned Revolution off just because it was too easy there. So I actually prefer to use manual mode if I'm fighting a boss like the Queen Black Dragon or God Wars Dungeon person, just because it gives me more control and it makes it more as though I'm more involved with the fight. But if I'm doing something like slaying Abyssal Demons or slaying a mid-level Slayer creature, I'll definitely use Revolution just because you just click and you go, right? So that's basically my use case for it. Use it for bots. I mean, oh my.
Use it for bots. Use it for bots. You're funny.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I think that's all there is to that one. Yeah. But that is key, actually. I will just say that setting Revolution up properly is important, because you should set it up in the from the longest to the shortest cooldowns, because if you put the shorter cooldowns at the beginning, the shorter ones will always get activated. Now, if you want that happening, I guess that's fine. But I've had situations where I had Slice first, and things in slots 4 and 5 didn't even get clicked very often. So, anyways,
okay.
Thank you for the questions, everyone. And if you want to send audio questions in, like our three audio questionnaires did this week, you can send them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just send it to the username rsbnbupdate, or finally leave us a Google Voice email at 571-572-2632. That's on Google Voice. Alrighty, moving on to tech news. What's our first tech news story of the week?
Our first tech news story. Tech 2. Our first tech news story of the week is Cortana.
Yeah. Microsoft's answer to something called Siri. You know, don't you think this is kind of a little too late?
Meh. Never really too late. Besides Cortana, they're just going to throw in and they just need to make a Cortana avatar and they're all done.
Yeah, what game is this from?
Halo 1, 2, 3, maybe 4, Reach, and all the other stuff. I don't know.
Okay.
That's all from Halo.
See, do you use Google Now on your Android?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I use Siri on the iPhone. So, once you have a feature like this, it's kind of hard to imagine not having it. So, the thing I'm wondering about is, what took Microsoft so long to get something like this?
Well, I don't know, but I will tell you this. Earlier this week, I did see a Bing car with the camera attached to the roof. You know, for the street views and whatnot.
Interesting. Bing was doing their own street view type thing.
I saw one. I was like, oh, I guess that's a Google car. Ooh, it's Bing. Oh, my God. I guess they're just trying to expand. And, you know, I think if they wanted to do it, they'll probably try and make like a Halo version of a Windows phone just to get some, you know, other people in as a exclusive, which is good if they want to do it. It's probably fine.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure if they had a Halo version of phone, people would definitely jump onto that. So
release it with a new Halo game. Make it a bundle. Yes, only $1,000. Plus a 7-year contract.
Cortana can call people by their nicknames, so that you can call yourself Master Chief.
Sexy bitch.
What?
You heard me.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with anything here?
Have her call you sexy bitch.
Oh, I see. So that could just be a nickname then.
Yeah, it's for yourself.
All right. And, you know, this thing hasn't been publicly released yet, so it's unknown which Windows phone it will be debuting on, but the idea is it will debut on Windows 8.1 phones. And, you know...
Nokia.
Yeah, probably, given they have the close partnership with Microsoft. But, you know, I think this just really illustrates what Microsoft has been doing recently in the whole tech thing, and that is that they're leading from behind with everything. They are always last to have something like Siri or Cortana in this case. They're always last to come in with an innovation. Microsoft hasn't really stepped up with an innovation since Surface, and Apple took Surface, the idea of touchscreens, and did it better. So when you think about it, what exactly is going on with Microsoft? I don't know. Microsoft just needs to get their game back on and, you know, deliver a real killer one of these days, whether it be in the mobile or desktop marketplace, and really set a statement once again as to what they can do, because everything they've done in the last decade has been from behind. Except for the Xbox. And Kinect. Alrighty, okay. Well, that's Cortana. If you're a Windows Phone user, you can let us know what that'll be like once Windows 8.1 comes out. Alrighty. Next piece of tech news is...
Bitcoins! Bite the dust. Again.
Yeah, once again. So another Bitcoin exchange disappeared. This time it's called Flexcoin. Mm-hmm. And this one is based out of Calgary, Alberta, which is close to me. Basically what happened is that Flexcoin had a software flaw. And once this flaw was developed or discovered, people were able to exploit it using a denial of service attack and steal around Bitcoin's worth around 440,000 euros. which when you think about it is a huge amount for a company to lose. And as a result, Flexcoin is shutting its doors because they have no way to recover these bitcoins. They have no way to provide people back with their funds. So basically all that needs to happen with this is they need to declare bankruptcy.
And hence why Bitcoin is not that secure as people would think, and that's why real currency is still king. Remember, you know, I said last week, the value of a U.S. dollar, it basically means I'm giving you a dollar's worth of gold that's backed up by the Federal Reserve. There's nothing to back up Bitcoins once you lose it. And also, you also think about it. I just thought about this now. There's nothing to insure Bitcoins if something bad does happen.
You know, exactly.
We have the FDIC insured for all the banks here.
The only way to ensure Bitcoins are going to be completely safe is if you keep your Bitcoins offline. And most people don't want to do that because they need a way to access them right away. So you really do need to use one of these exchanges. And we've had two recently just disappear, bite the dust. And a huge amount of Bitcoins were taken out with that. And these are just lost for these people. They need to, of course, be reimbursed by the exchanges, but the exchanges are gone. So,
exchange doesn't have anything to pay them back.
Exactly.
It's gone.
This is the main problem with Bitcoin. It's not based on a gold standard or anything like that. So, and that tends to be the problems with currencies. So, I think the moral of the story here is that unless you're planning on spending your Bitcoins, keep them offline or keep them in a wallet that you control. Do not put them in an exchange.
Better yet, don't even put them online. Or better yet, don't use Bitcoins at all.
And an interesting thing that came of this, Japan is actually looking at Bitcoin regulation now. They're going to set out rules on how to handle the Bitcoins and basically look at how they treat them under the existing laws. And basically what's going to be determined is that banks and securities firms aren't going to be able to handle Bitcoins as part of their main business. So it's going to be more like a commodity like gold would be. And you know, that's what it should be, I think.
A commodity?
Yeah, because you don't just create a new currency and have it unregulated by the IMF. That's not how the world works. It's not how the world works. And that's why I'm not going to even touch Bitcoins. Because I just don't like them.
I don't even know how you're supposed to get Bitcoins.
Well, what you can do is you can either mine them yourself, mine parts of them using CPU power. That's one way to get them. That's how you make money with them. Another way to make money with them is to play the market game like people do with these exchanges. But if you just want Bitcoins to spend on your own, you can actually go to Bitcoin ATMs. I'm sure they have them in the U.S. and other places. I know we have a couple here in Edmonton. But it's just like a basic ATM. You give it some money, and then you get Bitcoins out of it.
No thanks.
Yeah. All right, and Apple has introduced CarPlay. I kind of knew this was going to be coming.
Okay, cool.
Basically, CarPlay is an interface for your iPhone in the car, much like all the other smart car kind of technologies out there, like Ford Sync and all those things like that. It connects to your iPhone and gives you access to
OnStar.
Yeah, that as well gives you access to main features of the iPhone. Phone, messages, music, maps, locations, that sort of thing, all access on here. You can control it with touch, voice, or using the actual knobs in the car. And, you know, I think this is the next step to bring cars into the future, don't you think?
Typically, we've been doing it. However, most of the cars that can do this are kind of luxury cars. So for the mass market, it's still not as mass as most people would like. So, you know, it's been there. I mean, that's why you have OnStar and all that kind of stuff. But it's just, well, I don't make six figures yet, Shane.
Yeah. I don't think I ever will. But they do have committed partners from BMW, Chevrolet, Ford, Jaguar, Kia, Land Rover, Mitsubishi, Nissan, Peugeot, Subaru, Suzuki, and Toyota.
Suzuki!
So definitely some mid-range car companies in there that, you know, you don't need to break the bank for, specifically Chevrolet and Ford. So that's always a good thing.
Hmm.
All right. So that's one step closer to cars being controlled by computers. And that's it for tech news.
All right.
So we got the March skill of the month, which is prayer. Kind of boring so far. Flash is in the lead with 1.1 million experience gained. Uncle Dano's in second with 362,000. And Mage Guy 08 is in third with 291,000.
Bastard.
Everyone's kind of flatlined.
Yeah, I know. I can probably bury a couple bones throughout the month, but that's about it.
You got 276,000. You're in fourth.
I know.
What did you
do? Like I said, that's why. What do you think? Why did you think I call Mage Guy a bastard?
Oh.
Jeez, Shane.
Yeah. I see. Okay.
I was trying to catch up on a lot of shows, so I decided to do Ectos. Got myself to 97 prayer. All right, that's it. No more. I'm out of Dragon Bones. I was hoping they would actually use up my bonus prayer, the bonus prayer XP that I have saved up from all those stars, but nope, not going to happen. Like, God damn it. So I still got 390,420 bonus prayer experience that I need to use up somehow.
That's quite a bit, and that's good.
Yeah, how I'm going to use it up without burying 3 billion bones in a totally different manner.
You could get the ectoplasmator and go fight abyssal demons.
The what now?
The ectoplasmator. It is the equivalent of the bone crusher except for ashes.
Where's that? I don't remember reading that thing.
I don't know where you get it. I mean, the urns. It was a reward from a Halloween event.
I don't have that.
Yeah. Let's see. The ectoplasmator. 2012 Halloween event. Could be bought for 50 ectoplasm. Can be stored in a toy box. No, I do have that
somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to have it too. The question is, where do I get it back? Oh, well, I have 99 prayer. Not that I care now.
You do? No, I forgot you did.
Yeah. Alrighty. Also, we got the Informer Roundup for February, where you can read about all of the Informer articles that we wrote. Kicking it old school, being a good sport in games, the good, bad, and the honestly about the Legacy Combat Mode, making RuneScape here again, and getting back in the game. Alrighty. So. Also, I should note that MageGuy08 won the February Woodcutting Skill of the Month with 11.9 million experience gained, which was a close finish with Flash, who gained 11.5 million experience gained. So, good job to you both.
Okay.
And once again, MageGuy08 currently in third place, Flash in first place. So we could have a kind of a repeat performance between these two. Definitely going to be interesting to watch.
They have more money than I do.
Yeah, entirely true. Okay, so do you want to tell us about this supplemental
achievement of the week? Oh. Well, Shane, you did a supplemental on Combat Beta Armor Reworks. You can click on the link to go to a little YouTube video that Shane made and have a listen.
Yeah, definitely have a watch. YouTube.com/RSBNBstaff or update.RSBNB.com for our notes.
Anyway, we have two achievements this week. We have Parnassi, who got 99 farming on March 6th. And we have Scream True got 99 range on March 1st.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to you both. Very All right, good Shane, I believe you have a pick for us.
Yeah, I do. I said this was going to be a bit of a surprise for you, didn't I?
That's never good coming from you.
Well, going on this weekend is a conference called the CPAC Conference, which is Conservative Political Action Conference. Now, I'll preface this by saying that regardless of what you see at CPAC, these people are all coming together under the conservative banner to do something. And the idea behind it is that to talk about ideas as to how to energize a conservative base. And this is really something that started back in the days of Ronald Reagan. And this is something that most people look at, even people who aren't in the United States, and it's something I've been following. Definitely lots of interesting speakers there. And they actually have all of the speakers posted on the CPAC.org website. So it goes for 3 days. It's currently in the second day. It's finishing up today, I'm sorry. So you can just head over there if you're interested in this sort of thing and see what these guys have to say. There's definitely lots of interesting things being discussed. Now, one of the main central themes this year has been that in order to be a conservative, you don't need to be a old white guy in order to be the... No, there's actually lots of young people there and actually lots of females there as well. So that breaks the entire stereotype. And given the fact that young people are also there, it brings up a question that I'm going to ask our listener base. And ask yourself, what do you really stand for? Do you stand for the idea of freedom and not being told how to run your life by a government? Do you not want the government telling you what kind of light bulbs you can buy? Do you not want the government telling you what kind of soft drinks you could buy, that sort of thing. So, or at least not having the government put taxes on these items to discourage you from getting them. So if you agree with those kind of statements that the government shouldn't be involved in that, you'll probably find a lot of interesting things at this year's CPAC. So I highly encourage you, if that sounds like something you're interested in, to head over to CPAC.org and look at some of the speeches there made by people. They got speeches by everyone who was there, like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Rick Santorum, and also, of course, lesser-known conservatives as well. So, yeah, it's the pick of the week.
Okay.
You're gonna have
not much of a surprise coming from you.
And like you said, I said it was going to be a surprise, and what did you say?
I don't remember what I said, although I was kind of figuring it out. You don't change, Shane.
Alrighty. So, what have you been doing this week?
Nothing. I work like mad for the past week. Managed some ports and I'm starting to buy new crew members because all the ones that I just bought are already starting to level up better. Did a bunch of ectos, found out bonus XP doesn't work with it, but I managed to get 97 prayer, so all right, fine, good enough for me.
Yeah, okay. Anything else?
Nope. That's about it.
All right.
For now, anyway.
I also did some ports this week, got my fourth ship slot finally, so that's always nice, and I'm going to agree with you. I like firing people. That's fun, isn't it?
I don't like firing people.
I thought you said you liked firing your ports people.
No, I do massive layoffs. I don't fire them.
Oh, okay.
Big difference.
What's the difference?
Firing people, you do one at a time. Massive layoffs, I do a whole crew at once. I used to lay off like four or six people, grab a whole bunch of new guys, and just keep on rolling.
Yeah, and you know, I did the same thing, and that's really the best thing to do with player-owned ports is massive layoffs. That is very fun, you know, getting to do that, getting rid of people. It's like when you execute criminals on Star Trek Online.
Wow. When do we start executing criminals on Star Trek Online?
Yeah, the Klingon duty officer mission, right?
Oh, I never bothered with those.
Oh, okay. All right. Although, but aside
we
from ports,
have an interesting story of someone who did.
Okay, you can tell me after, or do you want to share it with everyone?
No, remember we had a friend in one of our old little group mates that saw a mission and thought it was cool, so he did it and found out like, why did all my purples die? And he looked at the mission closely, like, oh, I just executed all of them.
Oops. All right.
He thought it was a trip to Ryza.
Yeah. Anyways, aside from that, what I did this week is I just gathered some divine energy, starting to stockpile that up for whenever I need it. So there's that. Almost 91 divination now. And I think I'm going to do some cooking because I want to be able to cook my own rocktails.
Okay.
So I'm going to go for 94 because I think that's when you stop burning them, right?
I don't know. Well, cooking gloves it is. I believe it is.
Okay. See, that's the thing. I want to be able to do it without burning them, and my cooking's only 90. So I know you need 93 to at least cook them. So I want to get 94 so they don't burn. But... so I'm going to go for 93 cooking. So I'm going to try and find a nice way to do that. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been up to.
Okay, cool.
Alrighty. Well, with that being said, we are done for this week's RSBNB update. Thank you for listening, everybody. And remember, you can find the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes there, which is always good to do. You get it delivered right away when it's out. Just click the little link on the left that says subscribe on iTunes, and we'll see you next week, and good night.
Peace out. Bye-bye.